You can be opening up to Romans chapter 12 and put a marker in Acts chapter 9. I don't think this will be real long tonight. And let me ask you a question. If I was to ask any of you, does God know his own plan? The answer would be, yeah, duh, let me think. Let me pray about that. Yeah. So, yeah, the answer is pretty obvious. God has the plan already. So the plan is not a mystery to him. Well, let me ask you another thing then. Does God have plenty of power? So it's not a power problem, and it's not a plan problem. So what is the problem? You're looking at him, yeah. I remember that comic strip from when I was real young at my grandfather's house. It was Pogo. None of y'all are old enough to remember Pogo. Anyway, Pogo says, I have met the enemy, and he is us. I never forgot that. God has the plan. God has the power. What does he not have on planet Earth? A body. That is, who said that? That is exactly right. That is exactly right. And that's why we're going to Romans chapter 12. When Jesus was on planet Earth with his own body, God had a body. And he had a body that was presented to him holy, acceptable. Within that body was a soul that was completely surrendered to the will of the Father. We've been teaching about humility. And we went to Philippians 2, I believe it was last week, and showing how not only did the second member of the Godhead first humble himself just to come from that glorious place to this sinful place and be found as a man, but then, even, and it means that he emptied himself of all of his rights and privileges to do anything as God. But then, even as a man, even after being humbling himself that far, which I can't really fathom that, then it says he humbled himself all the way to obedience. And then it said, the way it's worded, even obedience to the cross. Well, that humbling himself to obedience and to the cross was every day, because it had to be, because he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. So here is somebody, Jesus is our prototype in every way. See, so when we read Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, which has been preached so often, I beseech you therefore, brethren, and again, therefore means based on everything that Paul has written in Romans chapters 1 through 11, based on all of this goodness, all of this mercy, all of the great things God has done for us, going all the way, he redeemed all the way back to Adam. He, based on everything, I beseech you therefore, based on all of that, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your, what is it? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, the teacher in me, there's so many teachings within this that we've already taught that it's hard for me to pass by them. But he's going to walk past that gate, walk past that gate, walk past that gate. Don't go down that path. So we're going to do that tonight. That you present your bodies. See, what he means is really the same way Christ presented his. Living sacrifice. Now notice, holy. Boy, is he calling for holiness today. And not man-made holiness either. But holy. And that word acceptable. It's amazing to me that that's in there. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice. That has to mean your body's not going to like it. Your body's not going to like it. When they'd sacrifice the lamb, his suffering only lasted long enough to bleed out. So what? 2 minutes? But see, we're a living sacrifice. We don't get to bleed out. This is every day. But Jesus did that. He presented his body a living sacrifice, tempted in all points like we are. But he presented it every day, every day, every day, holy. But see, that's what made it acceptable. And the fact that that word is in there means you can try and present it unacceptable. Gary, do you know anything about that? Continuing to read. Now see, God can use you in the gifts no matter what, even if you're a babe in Christ. We've been through that a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. The very church that we learn the most about the gifts of the Spirit is the Corinthian church, which Paul said, you're babes in Christ. You're just babies. You're just little babies in Christ. I can't even give you meat at all, you know. Yet they came behind in no gift. God was using them in the gifts. See, so that's not a judge. You can't use somebody being used in the gifts to gauge their maturity, okay? But where he's calling us, this revival is beyond the gifts. He's calling us to walk as sons, every time I say sons, you women know, in Christ, there's not male or female. It's just as much talking about you. That we walk as sons of full maturity, like Romans 8, 13, and 14, that we've been studying, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature, grown-up sons of God, mature enough to participate in their part in the family business, which for us is the kingdom of God. Okay. And that is our reasonable service. This is what's reasonable, is that we present these bodies. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, and here's that word again, an acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, he gave me an illustration not 5 minutes before we left the house to come here that I had never seen before, I've never preached before. It so perfectly illustrates this, and really it kind of illustrates Alan's message this morning, which I thought was a great 1-2 punch this morning, how the Lord put that all together. Wasn't that a great illustration? That Eva, is that how they pronounce Eva, trying to move that chair. That little girl just worked. She just worked and worked and worked. It so reminded me of us trying to do revival and not growing up enough to do it. Of course, Ava comes up. No problem. Put it right up there. Well, that's where it's going to be for us. He told me when we start walking in this, we'll laugh. We'll just look back and we'll just laugh. We'll have parties and talk. And you remember when it used to seem so hard? We'll just laugh that it ever seemed so hard. But he's got to grow us up. Okay. But that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, here's the illustration. Go back to Acts chapter 9. We're going to look again at Saul. We're going to look at his conversion. And then we're also going to look again at Ananias, the man that God used to minister to Saul. Now, you got to remember, Saul of Tarsus was the biggest, baddest threat to Christians of his day. He was the guy that had authority from letters of authority from Jerusalem. He could come and arrest you and bring you back for trial. And we know what happened to Stephen when that happened. They stoned him to death. So it was a scary, scary thing to approach Saul of Tarsus, okay? He would, before Osama was killed, it would be like, I want you to go lay hands on Osama bin Laden. And he's known for hating Christians, you know? So, I mean, that's the level, okay? But let's first look at Saul, because there's another part of what we're talking about tonight is why we need to keep praying the mysteries, okay? Why we need to keep praying the mysteries. And you'll see what I mean as we go through here. So Acts 9 verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that means Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. That means he would arrest them and bring them back for trial. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, the reason I'm going slow there, in this passage, we want to examine, we're going to look at some mysteries. You want to know where Gary meditates? Here's some meditations. I want to look at some things that God can do without a body, and things that he needs a body to get done. Okay? Did he need a body to shine the light? Apparently not. I don't know how he did that. I don't even know. I don't need to know. But I do know he can get your attention. He can shine a light. Okay? And he didn't have to have anybody's body to do it. All right? And just the light. Let me make sure I get it. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. So first, the light alone was so bright, it just knocked him off his high horse. Can I say? Knocked him, this prideful guy that's, you know, it knocked him to the ground. And he heard a voice. Now, what does that tell us? Jesus can speak to you without a body. He can speak to you. You know, I read about he's doing this very thing in the Muslim world. He's appearing to them in dreams and visions. And nobody's really preaching to him, but he'll just appear and start talking with them, very much like here. And tell them, I'm Jesus, I'm the truth. I'm so, you know, whatever he says to them. And many of them are getting saved. One group said that the fastest growing, now not the biggest church, but the fastest growing church in the world right now is in Iran. And it's all underground because of the severe persecution. It'll flat cut your head off, you know. But it's growing like, persecution never stops this church, you know. It's growing like crazy. And many of them are being saved this very way. Okay, just interesting to me that, okay, we know he can shine a light. We know you can hear his voice. Okay? So he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's last week's message. Saul was already sold out to God. But he was sold out as an old covenant person. He genuinely thought Christianity was heresy. He thought it was wrong. And he was going to defend God, and he was going to stamp this heresy out. So he was already sold out to God. But he had never met Jesus. He did not understand the change of covenant. But boy, once he met Jesus, I love it. You talk about, I'm not persecuting you no more. Who are you? What would you have me do, Lord? I love it. That's the question for every believer right there. Lord, what would you have me do? But that's last week's message. And the Lord said unto him, so we know the Lord can have conversations. What I'm trying to get, you know, this is a vision. It's an open vision. And the Lord can have conversations with you. You can talk back in the vision and he'll answer you. And he doesn't need anybody's body for that to happen. Isn't that interesting? Okay. I think it's interesting. And the Lord said, so what would you have me do? And the Lord said unto him, gave him instruction. Arise, go into the city, that's Damascus, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. Now they heard a voice, but they didn't see any man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now this is interesting. God can cause blindness without laying hands on you. That's interesting because he restores blindness by laying on of hands in a minute. Interesting. Mysteries that Gary is still meditating. Okay. I don't get this, Lord. You can blind them with this. Apparently the light. See, when I say apparently, that's speculation. Okay. Let's don't even go there. All I know is things he can do without a body. He can make a real bright light shine. He can talk to you. You can ask him questions. He can answer you. And he can give you instructions without anybody's body having to be there. That's pretty cool. Okay. So Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now notice this. He was there 3 days without sight. So you don't know it's going to be 3 days. You don't know if it's going to be 3 years. And he did know that he was going to get his sight back because the Lord told him in a vision. You'll see here in a minute. But boy, 3 days. You reckon those seem like long days? 3 days blind, you know. But notice he fasted. He didn't eat or drink. He fasted 3 days, food and water. Interesting. I don't know how you all meditate. Gary, this is part of how I meditate. And there was a certain disciple, and that word disciple is so important in this whole passage. We can tell that this is a real disciple. This is not a casual Sunday-only believer. This is not a... Because Jesus is really going to ask him to risk his life based on what the Lord's going to tell him. And this guy's willing to do it. Now, he has a little qualifying discussion with the Lord first. But this is a real disciple. But it is interesting to me. It says disciple and not apostle, not prophet. We never hear anything more about this fellow in all the New Testament. As far as we know, he didn't go on to be part of the fivefold. He might have. The point is, I love this story because Dave would say Ananias was Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper. He's a disciple. He is, though, a real disciple of the Lord. And that verse has just been coming to me in so many different things where Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, but it is enough that the disciple be as his master. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and through us right now, is making us as our master, that we walk as he walked, talk as he talked, speak as he spoke, and act as he acted, and have the same results that he had. That's it. Okay. Verse 10 again. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord, now notice, in a vision. Jesus is not making trips back and forth between heaven and earth. In his glorified body, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, he can appear on earth. He does all the time. He appeared to Paul. He appeared to Ananias. He appeared to others. But he's not making actual trips with his glorified body. It's the Holy Spirit. But these visions are somehow they're more than what we think of as a vision, because you can interact with them. You can talk with the Lord. You'll see Ananias do it here in a minute. But I know the Lord himself is still seated at the right hand of the Father. But here he is in this vision. It's like holograms, if you'll allow me. But anyway. So he said, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, now here we come with instructions, in a vision, arise. I love this. I love the precision. Listen, the Holy Spirit can give you precise instructions. He's been having me go through again all of the things he's taught me over the years about waiting on God. He says, you haven't finished waiting on me till you have received my instruction to know the what, the where, the how, and the when. Now, he says, you don't always get a why. Sometimes, but you haven't waited sufficiently on me until you have enough information to act. Okay? All right, that's going to be important in a minute. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight. That wouldn't be any difference in saying, I want you to go to Lewis. I want you to go to Harvard or Yale in Tulsa, a street that we know. Inquire in the house of Judas. So you go to Harvard. And you say, hey, does anyone here know where Judas lives? Oh, yeah, he lives right over there. All right, fine. You go to Judas's house, and you knock on the door. And do you have a Saul here from Tarsus? Yeah, we do. He's in there praying. Good. All right. And Jesus continues talking with him. And and what's amazing to me, Jesus is working this vision thing on both ends. He gives Ananias a vision, and he gives Saul a vision. Because Saul is there praying. I bet he is after 3 days. I bet. And Saul has seen in a vision a man. I love this. He's seen in a vision a man named Ananias. I love that. The Lord is so good. You know, I'm sending you this guy. You'll know who he is. His name's Ananias. Isn't that great? I love the reality of that. But Saul, here's what he saw. A man named Ananias coming in. Now notice, and putting his hand on him. Why? That he might receive his sight. Okay, mystery time, question time, meditation time. Now, wait a minute. The Lord can take away his sight without anybody laying hands on him. See how quiet it is right now? You know where I'm going. Why is it that he needs somebody to lay hands on him to restore his sight. The quiet is justified. It's a mystery. But I've got this much I can share with you. He said, well, the Lord said, I loved all those blind people that Jesus restored their sight. But I couldn't restore their sight until I had a body through whom I could work. And I'm just saying, that's what I've heard so far. There's probably more to come. You can put that in there. Okay. So then Ananias answered. I love this. Now Ananias is a disciple. If the Lord, during World War II, if the Lord came to you and says, I'm calling you to go to Germany and lay hands on Hitler. I have some questions, Lord. Can we talk? Well, that's about the same thing here, you know. So Ananias is going, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here, he means in Damascus, he has authority from the chief priest to arrest and bind all that call on your name. And, you know, it doesn't really come out here, but he's going, are you sure? You want me to do what to who? But the Lord said unto him, and I love it, though, that he could communicate with the Lord. And the Lord didn't upbraid him for that. And gave him more information. Treating him like he's real. I love this, see? But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Go thy way is a nice way of saying, Ananias, do what I tell you. Get up and go. Okay? For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Well, there's enough in that it satisfied Ananias, I guess. So Ananias is going, well, I'm going to obey the vision. See, it reminds me of Paul later on giving his defense. He says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Well, neither was Ananias. And I prophesy, neither will you. You will not be the same Jesus is going to give you your instructions. And you won't be disobedient. Now, you may or may not come in a vision. I really recommend to you those two messages by Dave Roberson, Distinguishing God's Voice, because he not only talks about distinguishing God's voice, he talks about the four ways that God communicates with his children. And the number one way is the inner witness, but then there's by revelation, then there's by voice, and then there's by vision and dreams. And he talks about all of those, but it's wonderful. But so Ananias, verse 17, Ananias went his way. He entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, I love it. First word out of his mouth, brother Saul. In other words, Ananias believed what the Lord told him. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest. I love this. He has sent me. He has sent me. That thou mightest receive thy sight. You reckon Saul was glad to hear those words. But notice, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that interesting? Because I don't read where the Lord said that to Ananias. So there must have been more communication than what we have recorded here, and that's not really unusual. You know, John said if all the things were written that Jesus did, all the books in the world couldn't contain it all. So he says that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, and immediately. Can I say, while he yet spake. And immediately. We're going to have a lot of immediately's in our future. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now it doesn't mention here. See, I believe he was baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was also filled with the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't mention right here that he spoke in other tongues. But what do we know about the Apostle Paul? I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So just because it isn't written here doesn't mean he wasn't also baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. Now, that's all we ever hear about Ananias. You know? But I've been meditating on that, and I've been thinking, how important is it that Ananias obeyed the Lord, even though it was scary? He presented his body, a living sacrifice, unto the Lord. It says he's a disciple, so I'm assuming it was holy and acceptable. Had to be acceptable or the Lord wouldn't have chosen him. Isn't that right? Isn't this a good example of presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord? And because of that, he obeyed, he heard the Lord's plan. See, again, the Lord has the plan. The Lord has the power. All he's needing is our body and our obedience. That in order to get his work done on planet Earth, he needs our body and he needs obedience. That's it. Did he need anything else from Ananias? God, there's actually people here. Did he need anything else from Ananias? He needed his body and he needed his obedience. See? And that's the same thing with us. Now, here's what I got on the couch right before we left to come down here. Here's what the Lord said to me. I'm just getting ready to come down here and praying. And the Lord said to me, now, boy, this fits right in with the 8:30 message today and Alan's message today. I heard this question. What if Ananias, a week before, decided that he needed to go witness to this Saul of Tarsus? He'd be dead. He'd absolutely be dead. Was his intentions good? Is that a good thing to do? But that's not where the Lord's calling us. See, the Lord is calling us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. What's the first, if we're going to leave it in context there in Romans 12, Dave used to tease us like this. I'm just going to do it like Dave did. He said, you guys ought to be so glad you came to this service. I'm going to share deep, calleth unto deep with you. I'm going to share a mystery that most of the world does not know. He says, I don't know if you're ready. Phil, I don't know if you're ready for this. Deep, it's deep. Are you ready? You ready? Get a hold of your chair. Chapter 12 of Romans comes after chapter 8 of Romans. I did it. It was deep. See, because the Holy Spirit also helps our infirmities. He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. But he's praying the very plan of God for us. God already has the plan. It's not a mystery to God. It's a mystery to us. So he doesn't really talk about fasting. Now, fasting is part of presenting your body, okay? But really, if we're going to go by the therefore, what has Paul spoken about leading up to chapter 12? He didn't say hardly anything that I can tell in there about fasting, but what he did talk about was obeying the inner witness, which that's Romans 8:13 and 14, that we learn to be led by the new nature, the little S spirit, those that are led by the Spirit of God. But he's not talking the Holy Ghost there. He's talking about that spirit. I today call it Christ in you. This is his nature. This is how you learn to follow him. And then also the bumper rails of the conscience to the left and the right. We've talked so many times about that. That's when you learn how to walk like that, where you're not dominated by the flesh anymore. Now you're a son of God. Now you've had your bar mitzvah. Now you're ready to participate in the family business. See? So that's the first level. Okay? But the Holy, that's the help that comes from the new nature. Ah, but the Holy Spirit also helps with our infirmities. Let's just go over there. I'm going to quote Rome by now. I can't even talk. Romans 8. Verse 26, of course, likewise, in the same way, likewise me, in the same way that you're getting help from the new nature and you're learning how to follow that new nature and he's leading you in paths of righteousness. This is how you do present your body holy. It's the first level of being led by the Spirit. And that's exactly what Dave says on that two tape series. That's the number one first way that God is leading you. He's leading you by the inner witness. You are a child of God. You don't do that. You don't do that. You do this. That's a child of God. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with that you're a child of God. So that's the first level of presenting your body a living sacrifice, okay? You learn to operate by the inner witness. If it says no, it means no. If it says yes, then it's okay. That's level number one. But then verse 26, likewise, in that same way that the new nature helps, the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit also, well, I've got that underlined, also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now think about Ananias. Do you think that plan was a surprise to him? I think it was. I think he was minding his own business. I don't think he had a clue that God was going to ask him to go lay hands on Saul of Tarsus. You know? But if he's a disciple, a New Testament disciple, I believe Ananias is a man that spent time in prayer. But I can't prove that. But in any event, when he found out the plan, I don't think, here's what I was going to do. Ananias, I don't think he ever prayed in his known language, Lord, please send me to lay hands on... You know he didn't know that. And that's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit knows that plan. Thank God for praying in other tongues. He also helps, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Ananias would never have known, oh Lord, send me to lay hands on Saul of Tarsus. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the first level of cannot be uttered is because we don't know what to pray as we ought. I don't know how to pray that in English. I don't know what to pray. But he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Glory to God. You're praying the perfect prayer right now. I want to go into that little turkey sandwich. You know, you got God the Holy Spirit praying up the prayer. You got God the Father on the side, other side. He's the bread on top answering the prayer. And you're the little piece of turkey in the middle. You know, just want to go pray. You know, God's offering up the prayer that he can answer, and God the Father is answering that prayer. And all he needs is a little turkey in the middle to allow the Holy Spirit to do the praying. We're the turkey. I love our pastor. See, when that is going on, that's really where verse 28. We know when you're allowing that Holy Spirit to make that kind of prayer through you, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, Saul was called according to his purpose, and so was Ananias. And Ananias, hearing the plan and obeying, see, God had the plan, and he got it across to Ananias. Now, what does he need? He needs Ananias to obey, to do what he was told. And God has the power. See, when Ananias laid his, I don't know why, but it seems to me, see, natural reasoning would go, well, it seems to me the same God that made him blind, same Holy Ghost that made him blind could open his eyes. But that's not the way that it reads, is it? And he didn't open the eyes of blind Bartimaeus before Jesus came. Meditation. Mister, don't stop praying the mysteries. There's still a lot more things to understand. So again, the question, would it have worked for Ananias on his own a week before this event, a week before Saul's experience on the Damascus Road? I know what I need to do. I have a plan. I'm going to go witness to that Saul of Tarsus. Yeah, that's what needs to happen. See, this is what the church does all the time. This, and it's an abomination if you want to know the truth of it. It's like little children playing with guns. It's dangerous as all get out for themselves and for others. And it's the carnal mind of man. If you go back to the face-to-face, and Tim knows those face-to-face documents better than I do. But if you go back to there, he says, is this the will? You think this is the will of God? That His plan should be at the will of man? Or should it be the other way around, that we should receive the plan from God? In other words, he's in charge, we're not. He gives the plan. He supplies the power. It's not the other way around. But what's happened, because the body of Christ has not been taught how to hear from God, they've not been taught how to locate the ear of their spirit, they've not been taught how to receive from visions and dreams, there's like a broken communion between God the Holy Ghost and believers. And the believers really love God. They're on their way to heaven. God the Holy Ghost is over here, has got the plan. But there's a severance, there's a gap. And so what happens is man comes up with his own ideas. I'm going to serve God this way. Well, that sure wouldn't have worked for Ananias. Yeah, I'm going to go witness. That's what needs to happen. I'm going to go witness to Saul. Uh-huh. Chop. You're gone. Next. But we do that all the time. Then we wonder, where's the anointing? Where's the power? You know? Of course, when Dave would teach on this, he'd say people will pray just till they hear the first little thing from God. You know the story he would tell? This guy was praying and praying. He heard the word China. China! We've been called to China, sold his house, took his wife and his kids, moved to China, spent 4 years over there, suffered all kinds of persecution, got beaten and whipped, and never had one convert in 4 years. They come back 4 years later, his wife leaves him, the kids are all upset, and he goes, God, I don't understand. Why did you send me to China? And the Lord says, I didn't send you to China. I wanted you to buy your wife some china for your anniversary. You didn't stick around for the rest of the plan. You heard one word. And boy, if that's not the church, if that's not the church. And I hear the Holy Ghost in Brock's voice again. But I've called you to the streets. I hear it. I've called you to the streets, and I've called you to feed the hungry, and I've called you to clothe the naked. But see, we're not going to do it the way man does it. He says, oh, you'll do those things, but you'll do it according to my direction, and you'll do it according to my provision, see? Sure, he's called us to do those things, but anybody can do those things. Those are things that man can do, and man does do. Muslims do that. Agnostics do that in the name of humanity. You know, even though they deny God, they'll just do it out of the name of humanity. But where he's called us, okay, back to when I heard Romans 12. Go back to Romans 12. Boy, is that not a good illustration, though? It would not do for Ananias to take it upon himself to go witness to Saul of Tarsus. And that's what the church is doing in spades. No. The title is something like, he has the plan and he has the power. Okay? Something like that. He has the plan. He has the power. All he really needs is our bodies. I haven't finished documenting this yet. Anymore, he doesn't let me wait till the bread's done. When I smell the bread, I got to tell you about the bread. But I'm doing a study right now. I'm just going, you know, going through there, all in the New Testament, to find out if I can. Let me say it this way, so I don't cause confusion. The number one way that people got filled with the Holy Ghost after the day of Pentecost is somebody laid hands on them. I'm not saying every time. I haven't finished the study. But we are going to have to start getting accustomed. You, all of us that are filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues, you need to get accustomed to laying your hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. Amen? There's a flow of the Spirit. There's a flow. It's like Jesus alluded to a flow. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. There is a flow that proceeds from within. Okay. So we're going to finish where we started here, I guess, in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, again, Romans 12 comes after Romans 8. What would be, Dave would teach this, what would be the first level of humbling yourself? And let's take Gary in the early days, with his nicotine-stained fingers. You know, Sue and I couldn't even make it 20 minutes through a message. We'd have to sneak out and walk down just where the trees are down there. Puff, puff, puff. And we were walking back, and Sue always carried the Febreze in her purse, you know, a little pressed bottle, you know. And we're walking back, and she's over on this side. And pachoo, pachoo, pachoo. You know, I got Febreze running out my ears. I mean, you know, pachoo, pachoo. And she's going, I'm going, honey, they can still smell it on us. I don't care. Pachoo, pachoo, pachoo. And we come back in. Because what was the first level once we understood it? At that point, I didn't know how to present my body without nicotine. I'll just be honest with you. At that point, I try and always be. I don't know why I say that. Because I always try and be honest with you. Anyway, but the first level, if I'm going to leave it in context, I could pray in other tongues. See? What's the first level? If you can't do anything else. Shandala baku sandale breku mandale breku marandarique. If we're going to leave it in content. Now, I believe in fasting, and he's calling us to do more fasting. At least he is me. I don't know about you. But the first level of presenting your body a living sacrifice, if we're going to leave it in the context, is where you, just like Alan said, you epoxy your britches to a chair. I want to be harnessed. Put me to work. No. Sit there and pray. But what? I want to do something. Sit there and pray. No, I want to preach. Sit there and pray. Let me just do anything. Pray. Pray. Present your body a living sacrifice. Not only could we not make it more than 20 minutes hardly at a time, I couldn't sit and pray. You remember those all-night prayer things that we used to have? I had to be walking. I had to be moving. I had to be my body. I couldn't make it sit there and just be still like I can now. You know, just sit there for hours now. But it wasn't like that then. My body was having a hissy fit. Does that make sense to you, a hissy fit? But no, we're going to keep praying. I don't care if you can walk, you can do whatever, but we're going to keep praying. Well, thank God he had me in the job that he had me in. I don't know if I ever would have. I don't know that I would have yielded. I just thank God that he had me in the perfect job for a guy that needs to pray a lot and get paid while you do it. I just thank God. So, I know I'm preaching to the choir. See, every service that I preach, I'm going, well, you're the guys that are already doing it. You're the ones that I see here all the time, you know, praying. But it's encouragement for us. And these lessons maybe will help you instruct others later on. Okay? So, hallelujah. So make sure that I said what needed. Don't forget that illustration about Ananias. It would not do for him to make up his own plan. See, he's trying to deliver us from man-made plans that do not have his anointing. We've got to leave the mindset that we are workers for God. No, we are vessels through whom God works. And there is a completely, that's two different mindsets completely. I'm going to say it again. We really are not workers for God. Now, it calls us co-laborers with God, but our goal is not to work for God. Our goal is to be vessels through whom God can work. Hallelujah. He has the plan. He has the power. He just needs our bodies, and he needs obedience. Hallelujah. Okay.